Blog Talk Radio.
Texas on Wednesday, May 24th. Today we're going to look at some of the stories in the front pages. Obviously, the number one story continues to be this terrible, I don't even know what words to use anymore to describe what these people do, but this terror act in Manchester where we're learning now about some of the people who were killed. Many of them were little girls, you know, teenage girls who were obviously attending a concert. I mean, it just doesn't get any lower than that. I mean, when you're out there blowing up little girls, you really have to, there's not much good about you. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I've got a few thoughts about that. Today we'll be talking about Mr. Trump. He's on a trip to the Middle East. He went to Israel, to the Vatican. So far, so good. So far, the trip has gone rather well. Russia collusion and Trump. I don't see any evidence. Does anybody see any evidence? I don't. I mean, one of these days, I like to see evidence. I like to see a crime or evidence of a crime. So far, we haven't seen any. Democrats and impeachment. It's interesting to me, and I'm not the only one who's picked this up, but more and more and more, Democrats are sort of pushing back a little bit on impeachment. They're sort of telling their base, well, not so fast, not so fast. And it's because impeaching a president is a very difficult thing to do. It's never was. It's only happened twice in our history, and it's a very difficult thing to do. You have a very high bar that you have to cross or you have to reach, and so far we haven't seen any evidence of any crimes. And of course today we remember Bob Dylan, who was born on this day in 1941, one of the most interesting, I'm going to say, you know, it's hard to say whether he was a songwriter or a poet, but he was pretty good either way. I certainly don't care that much for his music when he's singing it. With a few exceptions, I would say, like a Rolling Stone is a good one. Mr. Tambourine Man, his version is good. But I think for the most part, I enjoy his songs by other people. Joan Baez had several of his songs that she recorded. Obviously, Peter, Paul, and Mary, Blowing in the Wind, you know, The Turtles, It Ain't Me, Babe. So he had a lot of songs that were in the charts performed by other people. And that's how I like his songs most of the time. I don't, as I say, with a few exceptions, I prefer other people recording his songs. But he's 76 today. He was born in Duluth, Minnesota. I believe that he lives there right now. And he's 76, so we wish him a very happy number 76 to Mr. Bob Dylan. I've got a post coming out Thursday morning where I'm talking about an article that Senator Tim Kaine, you may remember him, of course, as Hillary Clinton's running mate in 2016, he's got an article saying that the Democrats have to connect with the middle class, that the Democrats have to do a better job of connecting with the middle class. I guess he should know because he was a victim of much of that in 2016. And he makes the point in the article that he wrote. I think you can see it over at Real Clear Politics. That's where you can see the full article. It's available over there today. But he makes the point that the Democrats, when they talk to the middle class, they come across, their message is too much about taxation, redistribution, fairness, rather than growth. In other words, he thinks that the Democrats need to be talking about economic growth and job growth, not just distribution of wealth. And he's exactly right. I'm kind of surprised it took him this long to figure it out, but he's exactly right. But the question I would ask Senator Kaine, and the question that I ask him in my post is, why is it that people have that impression of the Democrats? Why is it that so many Americans believe that the Democrat message is more about redistributing wealth rather than creating wealth? Why is that? Well, the answer is very simple. The answer is because that has been the Democrats' message really for quite some time. They got away from it a little bit during the Clinton presidency, a little bit. But for the most part, it's been that message for the last almost 20 years. And when you're constantly telling people out there, people who pay taxes, people who work hard, that they're not paying enough taxes and that we need to take more of their money and give it to other people, I think eventually you become a party that gets completely disconnected with the taxpayers. And that's what's happening here. When we talk about the middle class, we're talking about taxpayers. So Senator Kaine, he got the right idea, but I think he's a bit late to the train because I think that train took off. And I also think Senator Kaine is going to have a very difficult time selling that message to the people running the Democrat Party today. So good luck, Senator Kaine, but I don't really think you're going to have a lot of success. I wrote a post over at the American Thinker regarding the Manchester terror attack. And I simply, you know, I've reached the point, I wish people would stop somehow accepting that this is a way of life. Oh, we got to live with terrorists. So you're telling me we have to live in a country where little girls cannot go to a concert because somebody's going to blow them up? Sorry, but that's not the kind of country that I want to live in. I want to live in a country where little girls can go to a concert and have at least a reasonable safety, not have somebody put a bomb and kill them after the event. And I honestly think, now, Europe is different than the United States, and that's the point that I make in my article. I think we here in the United States are, because of the fact that we can carry a gun and because of the fact that many of us are legally, have licenses to carry guns, I think that in many places in the United States, something like this could be stopped because somebody in the crowd will pull out a gun, at least disable the terrorist. But in Europe, that's not the case. In Europe, in many of these countries, people cannot carry guns, so the only people who carry guns are the bad people. And when they have the chance to blow you up, they will, as we're seeing in England right now, or as we just saw in Manchester. And I understand they fear that there will be more attacks. So the country right now is in a very critical state of readiness because they fear that there will be more attacks. But if I was a British citizen, if I was living in Britain, I would ask my government one very basic question, and that is, can you protect me against these people? You know, are you capable of protecting me against these people? Because if this continues in Europe, if these attacks continue and you see more and more innocent people being killed like this, I think there's going to be a rebellion, if there isn't one already, of more and more citizens who are simply saying, look, if the government is not going to protect me, I'm going to protect me and I'm going to protect the little girls and I'm going to protect my family. So don't be surprised if I think you see a lot more of a movement in Europe rejecting these policies that have created the kind of mess that we see in Manchester, that we see in many of these other cities. They keep talking about these people as being lone wolves. Well, they're not really lone wolf. Somebody's putting this in their heads. Somebody's putting these ideas in their heads, and somebody is even showing them how to do this. So my sense is that that the governments of Europe better start dealing with this crisis, or the people are going to take it upon themselves, and they're going to defend themselves. They're going to defend their little daughters, and then we'll see what happens. It'll probably be pretty chaotic, but when people, you know, when your little daughter cannot go to a concert because you fear that somebody's going to kill her, that there's going to be a terrorist attack, I think that's when you cross the line and people say enough is enough. So hopefully the Europeans will learn from this absolutely horrific experience. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back right after we hear from my good friend Carlos.
This is Carlos Quevez, Heartbeat, and I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Nola Brasserie Authentic Cajun and Creole Restaurant, located at 1201 Main Street, downtown Dallas. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy jazz at 7:30 until midnight. So make your reservation today at 469-872-1820.
You better check out my good friend Carlos on Saturday nights. He does a great job, and the music and the food, everything is just absolutely fantastic. Well, so far, President Trump's trip, his first official trip as president, has actually gone rather well. He went to Saudi Arabia, where he was given quite a reception. And I thought he spoke some pretty important things there at that at that particular meeting when he told the terrorists or the countries who were there, he told them, you have to drive the terrorists out. You have to start thinking about these people as bad people. And I thought that was a very important remark. The trip to Israel, of course, went rather well. He just came out of the Vatican, I guess, yesterday. I mean, trips to the Vatican are usually not important in the sense that there's a lot of policy, but it's always good for the American president to be seen with the Pope, I guess, that much we can say. But the trip apparently went well, and he's going to be in Brussels now, where I believe there's going to be a G7 meeting. And that's where I think the events of Manchester may become extremely important, because Europe has got to come to its senses. Europe has got to understand that you got to control your borders, and you got to control your countries. And, I mean, there are cities in France, for example, we've talked about this. There are neighborhoods in Paris where the police will not even go in. They're called no-go zones, because basically these are little countries within a country. And I think more and more people are getting fed up with that. And at some point, as I was saying with respect to Manchester, at some point you're going to see a big explosion in these countries of people saying, we've had enough. We've had enough of this. And if you want to come to my country, you need to integrate in my country. You don't come here and impose your culture and our culture. Now, Europe has another problem that we don't have, at least not as much. Europe has a real baby problem, as I like to say. Nobody's having babies. And when you don't have babies, you don't have a future. And, the reality is that many of the minority groups, they're having babies. But the majority population, the white Europeans, they're not having babies. So in 10 or 20 years, who knows what's going to happen in many of these countries when you could conceivably have majority Muslim populations in many of this country. It could all work out. We never know. You don't know. But it could be a real threat to the traditions of France and some of these other countries. Let's talk a little bit about what's in the news, I guess, over the last couple of days. We've had some people speak before the House and before the Senate. John Brennan spoke and a few others. Look, I am getting so tired of this Russia story. Russia meaning the collusion or the alleged collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. I'm tired of this story. Nobody has any evidence of it. There are no leaks of it. I mean, it's pretty much a story that I think has been fabricated to explain the Democrats' defeat, rather than a story that can stand on its own. And I think that the new independent counsel, a special counsel, needs to address this as soon as possible. He needs to answer the question, is there any evidence? Is there a crime here? And if there isn't one, it's time to move on. Because I can certainly understand President Trump's frustration with this. I mean, every time he turns on the TV, you've got CNN talking about the Russian story. But I think, there's no evidence. I like to see some evidence. So far, we have not seen any. Maybe I'm not the only one, but about a week ago, I wrote an article at American Thinker talking about Democrats, how a lot of Democrats are sort of stepping back a little bit from all the talk about impeachment. They're sort of saying, not so fast, not so fast. And I think there's a couple of realities there. Number one, it takes a lot to impeach a president. I mean, if you just think about it, it happened to Andrew Johnson in the 1868. It happened to Bill Clinton in 1998, and it happened to Richard Nixon in 1974, but he was never, he resigned before it went any further. But the bottom line is that you have to have a crime. You have to have something that rises to a certain level of a crime, as the Constitution clearly states. And so far, there isn't any here. And so much of the Democrat base is so invested in all of this that I think a lot of Democrat politicians are looking 6 months down the road and beginning to realize, we may have to tell these people that there's no Russia story, that there's no reason for impeachment. How does the base react? How does the base react when they have been completely, almost infected, almost invested, I should say, in this particular story? I don't know. I don't know, but I think Democrats need to start pushing back, because there's going to be a real problem when the base figures out that all this talk about impeachment in Russia is just a lot of garbage. It's just a plain lots of garbage. Well, thank you for listening, folks. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Enjoy your day, and we'll talk to you later.